Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, X marks the spot as this already chaotic year of 2024 is turning into a mushroom cloud of end times activity. The World Economic Forum annual meeting may be over, but what was discussed there is continuing to reverberate across the internet. The two main takeaways being to prepare for Disease X and to be ready to receive the New World Order. Multiple tabletop exercises on how to map these things out have already begun, just as they did in the end of 2019 with Event 201. Where are we in 2024? We're exactly where we were in 2020. Habakkuk 1:5. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. On this episode, the shadowy figures that populate the New World Order are a relentless bunch, content to make small but steady gains over a period of decades. In every decade since the close of World War II in 1945, they have gotten closer and closer to achieving their goal of world domination. By all indicators, 2024 is the year that they have selected, like 2020, for a major offense. By now, everybody knows about Disease X. But what do you know about something called Clade X? We're going to tell you about that today, and you're not going to like it. We will bring you startling updates on their progress, some of it sounding like, and I'll admit, far-fetched science fiction, but sadly, it's all too real. In America, Donald Trump is a kitten's whisker away from locking up the nomination in an election that just may be the last straw that breaks the proverbial camel's back. George Soros' son, Alex Soros, has already posted a tweet referring to the assassination of Donald Trump. We are watching momentous change, and all of it points us squarely to the scripture of truth as found in your King James Bible. X absolutely marks the spot. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are living in the last days, and we are living in a time of momentous change, and we are watching your word of truth like we saw in our Bible study last night about end times Bible prophecy, and the chances of those things coming true exactly the way that the prophets said that they would thousands of years after they were spoken and written, and yet everything on time, accurate. Not a single word has fallen to the ground, and we stand in awe of you, Father God. And you do know the end from the beginning, and you tell us things that are to come. And you've given us a book, you've given us this Bible, you've given us this King James Bible, and we are so glad, and we are so grateful. God, your word says this about your word. I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods. Will I sing praise unto thee? I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And Lord, today we start this program as we do every program. We pray for lost souls. Today, Lord, we lift up Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, in Jeanette's family, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Matthew, Samuel, and two great grandbabies. We lift up Trista and Tara, Trevor, Derek, Adam, and Roland Carrier and their families, my brothers, John and David, Jesse and his mom, Rachel's dad, Ralph, members of the Bolton family, Jordan Shapiro, David Peck. Susan Weirs-Bickey is asking for salvation prayer for her daughters, Valerie, Marie, and for her son named Greg, and for her husband. Jeffrey is praying for Tyler, Tevin, daughter-in-law, Caitlin, and grandsons, Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jeanette and Bob have unsaved Catholic family members. Rita in Colorado is praying for her son, Dan. Connie has three unsaved kids. Brandy has unsaved family members. Ron needs to be saved. Spray of Sunshine sons, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Shannon praying for Lori W. and Brian M. Jan Lacker's son, David. Barbara praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer praying for her best friends and family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne is praying for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Rick, and Beth. Karen's kids, Jason and Tiffany, grandchildren, Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara's son, Jody, Mark Sherlock, praying for Savannah and Mom Stephanie. Werner Bukes praying for Bob and Abby. Junie Grant and their dad. Kathy Hughes' son, Zane. Lulu is praying for unsaved family members. Miles and his family for salvation. In the Giacomino family, we have Dennis, Michelle, Lorenzo, Roman, Gianna, Jessica, Sophia, Justin, Blondie, Giovanni, Luca, Dominic, Deb, Maurice, Courtney, Josh, Gabe, Haley, Emma, Amy, Rochelle, Dan, Evie, Lincoln, Felicia, Ethan, Bob, Stacy, Lauren, Andrew, and Karen. Dawn D is praying for David, Paul Caulfield up in Canada, for Father Fred and Peggy's brother Frank. Ramona Hayes says, please pray for my daughter Kimberly. She needs to get saved and sober. Also for grandchildren, William, Jason, David, and Amanda and their families. Patrick is praying for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea P. praying for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Adam's wife Shayna, Lori B. Shira McPherson, please pray for my kids, Scott, Sherry, and Nicole, as well as for an emotional healing. Lori's grandfather, Irvin, Mark Fennell, and Kevin Thompson praying for his father, Tim, to get saved. People who need a healing today. Lori Ann's mother, Joyce, my mother-in-law, they found a lump on her breast and a problem with a lymph node. They are doing tests and waiting for results. Please keep Lori Ann's mom, Joyce, at the top of your prayer list. My brother Jimmy has been on the top of that list for the past couple of weeks, and as I've shared with you, God is doing a miracle healing in his life. He was literally on death's door, and after going up and praying for him and laying hands on him and praying over him, God seems to have given him a healing. And he is in rehab and gets better every single day, defying doctors' expectations and grim prognosis. We appeal to the great physician. Amanda Emaw, possible return of cancer. Please pray for her and Matt. Thomas, he is experiencing profound discouragement and needs your prayer. Annetta needs prayer for a complete healing after having a stroke in 2022. David is asking prayer for his mother, Laura, who had a stroke. Sadie has heart-related issues. Derek O'Reilly has anxiety. How can you not have anxiety in these times that we live in? Kevin Thompson has been getting headaches day and night. Please pray for him. Daniel in Australia. Please pray for a healing in my marriage, God's blessing on my kids, recovery from various health issues for my wife and myself, and to be able to find a good Bible-believing church. Amen. Marcia Swanson has myalgic encephalomyelitis, neuroimmune disease that affects her health in many ways. George H. for health issues. James Rivette, recovery from addiction and mental health issues. Robert Wiley has ALS. Jill Puckett, losing her vision. Paul Caulfield has diabetes. Ron Alliston has cancer. Brooke Kettlecamp, battling through autism, and she is getting better. Krista has a massive tumor in her chest. Dan Kane, please pray for my wife Roxy with MS and for son Jonathan. Rob says my friend Mike has MS. Please keep him on the list. Ida Karulik has cancer. Craig has some health issues that he's getting through, but we're lifting it up to the Lord anyway. So please pray for Craig. Maddie Luck has Lewy body dementia, and her daughter Michelle has severe neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Tony is blind, has cancer, and his wife is divorcing him. Tracy has severe arthritis and a fatty liver and diabetes type 2. Michelle Christian has bone cancer. Melissa B's husband, Brian, has stage 3 kidney disease. Catherine B, she's in the chat room today. She listens to us on dialysis. And we've been praying that God would give her a healing in her kidneys. Ricky Gouda needs prayer for her eyesight, and daughter Norcha for her thyroid. Casey is a woman with lupus and kidney issues. Jane, please pray for my parents and brother to get saved and for my husband to be healed. Ashley has MS. Jackie H. needs God's favor regarding custody of her son. A lady named Katka suffers from ALS. Dave Evans, his friend Manuela, bone marrow cancer. Stacy is going through a divorce and needs wisdom from the Lord. Casey, please keep my husband on your prayer list. He is unsaved and a severe alcoholic. Matthew Morrow is recovering after a relapse in his sobriety. Tom Rantz continues to improve after having a stroke and a brain bleed. Julius, please continue to pray for Mom Erlinda and niece Rochelle for health issues. Brooke's friend Bertie had a stroke and a seizure. Jeanette's sister Kisabel, we've been praying for her for a full recovery after eye surgery. Wayne, possibly unsaved, but needs prayer for cancer. Ashley DeShields, West Nile virus and coughing and all sorts of issues with her lungs. Please keep me on the prayer list. And if you're listening, we are happy to do that. Teresa G. is asking prayer for her eyesight. She suffers from macular degeneration. And Shira Shine needs the Lord to do something in her family. Ladies who are expecting, our daughter Megan Burton, Christy Ireland, Char's daughter Miranda, Sandra Carbonera's friend Jordan P., Stephanie Juliana and her sister Christina, Sarah Ann Severson is expecting her first baby with her husband, and Spray of Sunshine would like prayers for her son and his girlfriend who are expecting twins. Deborah Mack, I need prayer on how to go forward with this group of friends and believers. So much compromise these days. Amen. That's why, for the most part, outside of our NTEB family, I travel alone. because it is a battlefield of arguments among Christians. Rob says, praise report. On January 22nd of 1988, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior at the Jesus Book and Gift Store in West Long Branch, New Jersey. I was supposed to be in New York City for the weekend partying, but the Holy Spirit led me in a different way, had other plans. I haven't had the best walk for many years, but I am here now and am very, very, very thankful for all the Lord has done in my life and look forward to the blessed hope of the pre-tribulation rapture. Amen, brother. You're in the right place. Amen. Mike Hensel. Sorry I haven't been around lately, been helping my mom. She has been in and out of the hospital the past couple of months, and we are continuing to pray for Mama Hensel. Karen, please pray for my neighbor Travis, who I just got done witnessing to and gave him a tract. Char would like salvation prayer for her mom and extended family. Jeanette says, please pray for my caregiver to be safe on the ice-covered roads today. And Charlton, last night he was going by the handle Charlie on the Highway, and I really like that handle. Charlton says, Found out last night our friend and sister in Christ, Heidi, will require dialysis 3 times a week for the rest of her life. Spoke with her daughter Haley to get a feel of her life direction, and she is doing well at her job. Praying both will face the new reality with prayer and strength. Deb and I will respond accordingly. Deb is assisting with transportation and needs for both for the time being until adjustments are settled. So please pray for Charlton and Deb as they minister to and with Heidi and her daughter Haley. And Heidi just got the diagnosis of dialysis for the rest of her life. And we are happy to lift all that up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We praise you. You are a good God. You are our advocate. You are our healer. You are the great physician. And Father God, we appeal to you today. And Lord, the doctors and nurses, they mean well, and most of them try hard, but we're going to a higher court today for the healings that we need. We are appealing directly to the great physician. And people like my brother Jimmy and Lorianne's mom Joyce and Amanda Emaw and Marcia Swanson and Robert Wiley and Paul Caulfield and everybody else on the prayer list. Father God, we ask you to work and move and heal as only you can. And Lord, hear these prayers, answer according to your will for us, for your glory, for our good. And we thank you and we praise you and commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm fired up today. And I've been fired up for the past couple of weeks, not simply because it's a new year, but I really got fired up when Lori and I went up to New Jersey to be with my brother Jimmy. And at the time, and this is only just 2.5 weeks ago, at the time, the doctors and nurses had said that he was on a day-to-day death watch. And there was nothing more that they could do. And so we went up, and as soon as we made the decision to go up to New Jersey, they announced a big winter storm, the first major storm of the winter. But we went up anyway. You know, I'm always calling you guys to the fight. I'm always saying that, you know, the war is real and the battle is hot and the time is short. To the fight. And I believe that with all my heart. And I try my very best to live that as well. And so I'm always calling you guys to the fight. We could not shrink from the fight ourselves. So we prayed and got in the car and made the 1,000-mile trip up to New Jersey, laid hands on my brother, prayed over him, read scripture. Our friend Dave had already gone 3 times to bring him the gospel, and he prayed for 2 years that he would have a witness with one of my brothers, and God gave it to him. And just amazing miracles taking place. And we prayed over my brother. And I tell you, this is no lie. This is no exaggeration. But Lori and I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in that hospital room as thick as peanut butter on a spoon. And it was undeniable that something took place in that room that night, and the very next day, his health started to improve. And I'm just as on fire about this as we were last year when Rob Beatty wound up in hospice. And everybody thought that he had come to the end of his life, and we prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him. And Rob Beatty is not in hospice right now. He's in the chat room and he's chatting, and God has done a mighty miracle in his life as well. So here we are, 22 days into 2024, And I am seeing the Lord working and moving in amazing ways, and I'm excited and I'm fired up. And just like we were in the end of 2019, the beginning of 2020, and we could feel that something was happening, and we could see that things were changing all around us. That's exactly where we are January 22nd of 2024. Things are heating up, things are ratcheting up, and we are getting closer and closer and closer and closer to the full implementation of the New World Order. Back on September 11th of 1991, then President George H.W. Bush, he announced it.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
So there you had then President George H.W. Bush, September 11th, 1991, and he was telling you, you better buckle up because the new world order is coming. The new world order is coming. Last week at the World Economic Forum annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland, we heard this from Queen Maxima of the Netherlands about the urgent need for biometric digital identification. Take a listen to Queen Maxima at the World Economic Forum telling you what has to come next.
To open an account. So this notion of actually getting sort of a coordination among ministries have actually really advanced the issues.
Sure.
Why? Because in order to open an account, you need to have an ID.
Right.
And I have to say that when I started this job, there were actually very little countries in Africa or Latin America that had one ubiquitous type of ID, and certainly that it was digital, and certainly that it was biometric. And we've really worked with all our partners to actually help that being, to grow this. And the interesting part of it is that, you know, yes, it is very necessary for financial services, but not only.
Sure.
You know, it's also good for school enrollment. It's also good for health, who actually got a vaccination or not. It's very good to actually to get your subsidies, you know, from the government. So this has not only effect to the financial services, so it's a very important issue.
Sure.
The digitalization has played, of course, a very important role. And I think we have here on my right a very good sort of
good example.
You know, example of, like, you know, how it actually, you know, has been driven in Egypt. But it has basically brought first two things. Increased affordability by reducing the cost.
All right, that's about enough out of Queen Maxima. But suffice to say that the Queen is not alone with her desire for biometric digital identification. And that's one of the main things that they talked about at the World Economic Forum meeting in Switzerland last week. Another thing that they talked about was the absolute need for a, quote, globally coordinated system of carbon taxes for climate change. Now, where have we heard about that before? Where have we heard about a global tax? Well, if you believe your Bible and you go to the Gospel of Luke, this is what you read in the first three verses of Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Now, if you sadly have an NIV, an ESV, the Legacy Standard Bible, or any of that junk, your Bible does not say global tax. It says it's a census. But the King James, as usual, is right and everybody else is wrong. You had a global tax and a census, but a global tax at the first advent of Jesus Christ. So it only stands to reason that you're going to have a global tax at the second advent of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what they called for last week at the WEF 2024. Take a listen to, we need a globally coordinated system of carbon tax.
There's no realistic solution to the climate transition that does not involve a globally coordinated system of carbon taxes. There's no realistic or fair solution that does not involve a globally coordinated system of carbon taxes. And Ngozi at the WTO is coordinating this with several other international organizations. It's still early days. There's a perception that it's unjust, it's unfair, it'll lead to inflation. In fact, quite the contrary. If we don't do this, the countries that will suffer most ultimately are the developing countries. They're going to be the worst affected by climate change. If we don't do this, it's ordinary, vulnerable communities that will suffer the most. What we need is a system of carbon taxes coupled with subsidies for vulnerable households and a stream of funding for the developing world to allow them to engage in investments in mitigation and adaptation that allows them to keep growing. And that's a real opportunity. It's a fair solution, and it's the only realistic solution, and we can't keep ducking it.
So there you have key figures at the World Economic Forum 2024, and what are they talking about? Well, they're talking about global biometric digital identification tied to a carbon tax. And not only that, they have announced, the leader of the World Health Organization has announced that May 20th is the deadline for the new global pandemic agreement regarding disease X. May 20th of this year. I don't know about you, but even just saying those words, I'm having these creepy flashbacks to Event 201 from 2019 and Bill Gates saying about the coming year of 2020 that it's going to be a great year for vaccines. Don't you get that same feeling that they're going to do it to us again? Take a listen to this. This guy from the World Health Organization, Tedros, they are calling for May 20th as the deadline for the Disease X pandemic agreement.
To have better prepared and to address the Disease X is the pandemic agreement. The pandemic agreement can bring all the experience, all the challenges that we have faced, and all the solutions into one. And that agreement can help us to prepare for the future in a better way. Because this is about a common enemy. And without a shared response, starting from the preparedness, we will face the same problem as COVID. And deadline for the pandemic agreement is May 2024. And member states are negotiating. This is between countries. And I hope they will deliver this pandemic agreement by that time, on the deadline. Because if this generation cannot do it, we're the lived community, we have the first-hand experience, I don't think incoming generation, the next generation will do it. So for our children and grandchildren's sake, I think we have to convert all the lessons we have learned into this pandemic and prepare the world for the future, because this is a common global interest. And national interest, very narrow national interest, should not come into the way. Of course, national interest is natural, but it's the narrow national interest that could be difficult and affecting the negotiation.
So there you have the head of the World Health Organization, a man by the name of Tedros. And what are they talking about? They are talking about a international global pandemic agreement treaty. That's what they're talking about. And this is exactly what Bill Gates has been calling for a number of years. Take a listen to this clip from 2021, where Bill Gates calls for the creation of a germ team.
Amazingly, today, we do not have a large global organization dedicated to preventing pandemics. There are some part-time efforts. The WHO helps the world with lots of health issues, but it hasn't been given the resources to have this dedicated team. We need to create this group with full-time paid experts who are constantly tracking disease outbreaks. I call this the Global Epidemic Response and Mobilization Team. And so the acronym is GERM. The GERM team will actively monitor potential health threats all over the world. Data scientists would see where there are clusters of suspicious cases. Epidemiologists would monitor reports from national governments to identify anything that could be an outbreak. We'll have disease modelers gathering the data to do accurate projections. Product development experts will work with governments and companies. We need more work on diagnostics, therapeutics, and vaccines that we can scale up with very short notice. And we'll have policy experts making sure that every country has the right approach. The team will need to regularly organize outbreak simulations, germ games that test the global response system and finds the weak spots. We do that for war, we do that for fire, we do that for earthquakes, and now we need to make sure we do it for pandemics. This team would keep their skills fresh to help get rid of polio, get rid of malaria, get rid of measles and other infectious diseases. So they'll have immense value even in...
All right, I can't take much more of Bill Gates talking about the germ team. But you know what that leads me to now? That leads me to our top story for today. Now, if you're a longtime listener of Now the End Begins, you know that as far as events that are related to the end times, if you on a regular basis read our articles and listen to our broadcasts, then you are one of the most highly informed people on the face of the earth in regards to end times Bible prophecy. This is what we do 7 days a week, 24 hours per day. This is the mission that God has raised this ministry up for, to be a shining light in the darkness of the end times. And you know that one of the very first outlets that told you about Event 201 back in 2019 was Now the End Begins. And we have constantly given you the drop and the heads up on things. And so what we would like to do today is we would like to expand the rabbit hole, so to speak. We would like to expand the rabbit hole just a little bit. I have this clip from Dr. David E. Martin. And Dr. David Martin, he is a guy that is constantly digging for clues and for things. So we all know about Event 201. We all know how the Johns Hopkins Center got together with Bill Gates and people from social media and members of the military, and they had this thing called Event 201. And within weeks after this 65-member war game tabletop exercise simulation about a global viral pandemic, just coincidentally, a global viral pandemic started in Wuhan, China, and quickly spread around the world, killing millions of people. Now, we all know about Event 201. We all know about COVID-19 and SARS-CoV-2. We all know about the vaccines that are not vaccines, but they are gene editing therapies. But today I want to tell you about something that is part of Event 201 and actually took place before Event 201 happened. And same people, it's the same secretive group of people behind closed doors, and Event 201 was not their opening shot. Before there was Event 201, there was something called ClaDEx, C-L-A-D-E-X. What is ClaDEx? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security hosted the ClaDEx Pandemic Tabletop Exercise on May 15th of 2018 in Washington, D.C., The purpose of the exercise was to illustrate high-level strategic decisions and policies that the United States and the world will need to pursue in order to prevent a pandemic or diminish its consequences should prevention fail. ClaDEx was a day-long pandemic tabletop exercise that simulated a series of National Security Council convened meetings of 10 U.S. government leaders played by prominent individuals in the field of epidemic response and national security. So, before there was Event 201, before there was SARS-CoV-2, the same group of people got together a year before that and launched ClaDEx. So I want you to listen to Dr. David E. Martin. And you know what he's going to do for us? He's going to take Event 201 and he's going to attach it to COVID. And he's going to attach that to SARS-CoV-2. And then he's going to take a big giant step backwards. And he's going to show you how ClaDEx is the platform for all of this that began in 2018. So take a listen to David Martin. Disease X is actually ClaDEx.
Remember that Disease X, which you've heard about in the news in the last several days, is actually a branded derivative of a thing that was already a tabletop exercise. It's called ClaDEx, which actually predates the Event 201 for coronavirus. But if you go back and you look at ClaDEx, you'll realize that ClaDEx is not just the brand name of a tabletop exercise, which was funded by Dustin Moskowitz, the co-founder of Facebook, and the one who has been the ghost check writer behind all of the actions recently. It's important for you to realize that ClaDEx is actually not only the tabletop exercise, but it's actually a venture partnership between Moskowitz and the Wellcome Trust. And the Wellcome Trust, for people not familiar with this, is one of...
All right, I'm going to stop David Martin right there. Now, he just told you that ClaDEx and Event 201 and SARS-CoV-2 and all these different things, he just told you, and I really want you to pay attention now. Not that you're not paying attention, but I really want you to get this. I really want you to understand what I'm about to tell you. This is huge. David Martin just told you that SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19 and Event 201 and ClaDEx is tied to a company called the Wellcome Trust. W-E-L-L-C-O-M-E. And it is a trust that was established by a man whose last name was Wellcome, And he had a has a pharmaceutical company. And back in the 1980s, this pharmaceutical company called Burroughs Wellcome, they created a highly toxic, very poisonous, and deadly drug called AZT. AZT. And this drug was forced upon AIDS patients. And in a very short period of time, this drug from the Burroughs Wellcome Pharmaceutical Company that was pushed and promoted by Anthony Fauci killed 250,000 gay, homosexual people, because when they took this drug, well, my brother didn't die of AIDS. He died of a heart attack. And it's making me so mad even just remembering it. But these same people that poisoned my brother and 250,000 other people, these same people, Anthony Fauci and the big pharmaceutical companies, this is their plan. This is global depopulation. And my brother died on December 4th of 1988. And the cause of death was not acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. The cause of death was heart attack and liver failure, because this poisonous drug killed him. Now, why did my brother's doctor prescribe this drug? Because Anthony Fauci went on TV, and Anthony Fauci went on the cover of Time magazine, and Anthony Fauci told every doctor in America, this is the drug that will beat AIDS. And it didn't beat AIDS. It didn't stop it. It didn't even slow it down. All that it did was murder hundreds of thousands of people. In 1980, Anthony Fauci leads the NIH and uses PCR tests to get false positives. In 1984, Anthony Fauci starts AIDS research with funding from Merck and Burroughs Wellcome. In 1985, Anthony Fauci pushes deadly drug AZT for AIDS experimental vaccine using PCR false positives and phony studies. And starting in that same year, AZT killed hundreds of thousands of people and still impairs hundreds of thousands more with permanent debilitating cancers and other diseases. Sounds a whole lot like the adverse reactions to the COVID vaccine, doesn't it? So when you're listening to this clip, and I'm actually going to start this clip over, David Martin is telling you that COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, Event 201, Clade-X, AIDS, AZT, it is all part of the same thing. Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, nothing will.
Remember that Disease X, which you've heard about in the news in the last several days, is actually a branded derivative of a thing that was already a tabletop exercise called Clade-X, which actually predates the Event 201 for coronavirus. But if you go back and you look at Clade-X, you'll realize that Clade-X is not just the brand name of a tabletop exercise, which was funded by Dustin Moskowitz, the co-founder of Facebook, and the one who has been the ghost check writer behind all of the actions recently. It's important for you to realize that Clade-X is actually not only the tabletop exercise, but it's actually a venture partnership between Moskowitz and the Wellcome Trust. And the Wellcome Trust, for people not familiar with this, is one of the oldest criminal organizations in operation in the world. The Wellcome Trust is also known as the the one of the largest charitable foundations of the UK, that in partnership with the Rockefeller Foundation by 1924 were the ones that collectively put in motion the process which came to 1944.
I'm going to stop Dr. Martin right there yet again. When this clip is over, I have a clip about the Rockefeller Foundation and how they have absolutely, for the last 120 years, they have hijacked medicine and healthcare in this country. You want to know a secret about hospitals? Now, keep in mind, of course, for those of you that know me a little bit, you've heard my testimony. And for 15 years, I worked as a creative director in some of the world's largest pharmaceutical companies. I know a little bit about Big Pharma. And for 15 years, I worked in Big Pharma for various companies designing stuff. You want to know why there's so many shortages of hospital beds? You want to know why hospital care is so expensive? Because Wall Street has spent the last 15 years buying up thousands of doctors' practices, thousands of hospitals. Maybe you've noticed where you live that it used to be called, you know, Main Street General Hospital, and now it's the Main Street General Hospital, which is part of the such and such and so and so foundation and corporation. Have you noticed how all the hospitals seem to be merging together? Well, the reason why they're all merging together is because Wall Street is buying them. Now, you think about that, and you think about the Rockefeller Foundation, you think about Clade X and Disease X and COVID-19. Are you starting to get the picture?
And the proposal to fund the World Health Organization, which in fact they then funded so that they could actually get absolute immunity, as I've pointed out in many of my presentations in Europe. The fact of the matter is what they're doing in Davos is actually the dry run of the Clade X exercise to get ready for the passage of the IHR, World Health Organization Treaty reform, which is intended to take over a supra-sovereignty on any declared emergency, which is the reason why my organization continues to maintain vigilance on all the 64 scheduled and funded pathogens that are in the queue for release against humanity. And that list I have gone over in many presentations. I'm not going to bore everybody on this call, but the fact of the matter is what's happening in Davos right now is the planning phase, not unlike the Bretton Woods summit was in 1944, July of 1944, when Bretton Woods set in motion all this nonsense. The fact of the matter is what they're doing right now is they're planning the sequence of events where they can actually cascade another terror campaign, which then triggers not only the need for allegedly another medical countermeasure, but it also this time is going to involve the other piece that they failed to achieve with the COVID campaign, which is the eradication of cash-based transactions in commercial interaction. Because it turns out that one of the things that they desperately need to do is to make sure that they have central control on the flow of value exchange and the mapping of the networks associated with that. And because of that, it's critical that they plan better than they did with COVID, because they blundered their way into COVID. And unfortunately, they did not do the full control takeover that they wanted, which is exactly what is on the agenda for Davos this week.
So there you have Dr. David E. Martin, and he told you who the players are. And he told you that Clade X and Disease X and Event 201 and COVID-19 and SARS-CoV-2, and I told you about AZT and the Burroughs Wellcome Company and all this stuff. Take a listen to this.
Around the same time that John D. Rockefeller seized U.S. media, he also hijacked U.S. medicine. When it was discovered that drugs could be produced from petroleum, America's top oil mogul, ordered his army of propagandists to invert reality accordingly. Medicines used for thousands of years were suddenly classified as alternative, while the new, petroleum-based, highly addictive, and patentable drugs were declared the gold standard. After buying a German pharmaceutical company that manufactured chemicals of war for Adolf Hitler, Rockefeller leveraged his political influence by pressing Congress to declare natural healing modalities unscientific quackery. Rockefeller then took control of the American Medical Association and began offering massive grants to top medical schools under the mandate that only his approved curriculum be taught. Any mention of the healing powers of herbs, plants, and diet was erased from most medical textbooks. Doctors and professors who objected to Rockefeller's plan were crucified by the media, removed from the AMA, and stripped of their license to teach and practice medicine. Those who dared to speak out were arrested and jailed.
When I think about my dad growing up, I certainly think about that seriousness. But very few people get to see. He's funny, weird, and really playful.
God help us. In 1981, HIV/AIDS was evolving rapidly and frighteningly. There was anger at the government's response.
When you got sick, you were gone fast.
It's affecting you now.
Yeah.
Why?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
When COVID hit, he became this target.
My dad said, we're going to get through this whole thing. And he's held that.
You don't do it because you want to make money. You don't do it for the glory. You do it because you care.
When you're involved in a race to stop a horrible disease, you always feel you're not doing things quickly enough.
I want to read to you a little bit of a letter that was written to Dr. Anthony Fauci and published in the San Francisco Examiner on June 26th of 1988. Anthony Fauci, you are a murderer and should not be the guest of honor at any event that reflects on the past decade of the AIDS crisis. Your refusal to hear the screams of AIDS activists early in the crisis resulted in the deaths of thousands. Your present inaction is causing today's increase in HIV infection. We are outraged that Project Inform, an organization that supposedly works on behalf of the infected community, would insult us by bringing you to our city. You can't hide the fact that you are nothing but a despicable holdover and drug company mouthpiece. With 270,000 people dead from AIDS and millions more infected with HIV, you should not be honored at a dinner. You should be put before a firing squad. You are responsible for all government-funded AIDS treatment research. In the name of right, you make decisions that cause the lives of others. I call the decisions that you were making acts of murder. And this was written by gay activist Larry Kramer. And Anthony Fauci, his response, he says, okay, you want something? Here, AZT. And people began to drop dead in the hundreds of thousands. My brother Rob being one of those people who was killed by Anthony Fauci and his medicine. Whew! I got to take a moment and calm down. Let's just switch gears for a second. I shared this with you last night. I gave everybody a sneak preview, and Char was asking to be able to see what I posted last night. We are so excited. I was talking about our Gospel Witness billboard program, and we haven't stopped that for 3 years now. And one of the people that we partner with, Kyle and Reagan Gorzel in Baton Rouge, and we just sent the new billboard. It's a digital billboard. We just sent that new billboard to be loaded. And sometime today or tomorrow, That new billboard's going to go up in Baton Rouge, and I just want to show you guys a little bit of a sneak preview what that billboard is going to look like. And I think you'll be very, very happy and excited by what this new billboard looks like. Big, bold, 40 feet wide by 10 feet high. Jesus saves. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. So I just posted that link, that image in the chat room, and we are so excited about that new billboard. You know, we haven't talked about the billboard program in a little bit because we've been so focused on the free Bible program and Bibles Behind Bars. But don't think for a second that we've stopped any of our programs. And we may not be talking about them, you know, every program all the time. But believe me when I tell you, programs like the Gospel Witness Billboard program are going strong. We have three billboards up right now. We got that new one going up today or tomorrow. And we are so very excited that even at this late date, the Lord is giving us work to do. He's opening us new avenues of opportunity for us to get the gospel out and get Bibles out. And the only way that we can do these things is through your prayer and financial support. I just want to take a second to remind you of something. Do you realize that since we started the free Bible program in 2021, that we have sent out to date over 250,000 pieces of gospel literature, including King James Bibles, New Testaments, scripture portions, and gospel tracts. We have purchased dozens and dozens of 1,000-pound rolls of paper that produced Bibles that have been sent all across America and overseas to places like Nigeria, the UAE, the Philippines, Vietnam, Ukraine. Along with all that, Now the End Begins has become the world's largest single purchaser of the Ruckman Reference Bible, and we send out thousands of Ruckman Reference Bibles completely for free, in addition to the Bibles Behind Bars program. And we send out these Ruckman Bibles completely for free all across America in at least a dozen and a half different countries. So I just want to remind you that when you support this ministry, you are helping us to do the billboards. You're helping us to send out the free Bibles. You're helping us to send out New Testaments and gospel tracts. You're helping us to send out Bibles to jails and prisons all across America. The only way that we can do that is you pray and then you donate. And if you would like to help us, if you think that these programs that we've had for 3 years now, and we've sent out over 250,000 pieces of gospel literature, if you think this is a good idea, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com and make a generous donation and help us to do this. Shipping is more expensive. Paper's gone up 30%. Everything costs more money. But I believe that we can get this job done. We set a goal of 1 million Bibles and New Testaments and scripture portions. We have passed 250,000. I believe we can do another 250,000 in just 2024 alone. So if you'd like to help us to do it, please pray for this ministry. And if God has prospered you, go to nowtheendbegins.com or BiblesBehindBars.com and please make a generous donation. As always, thank you very much for your prayers and support. The only way that we can do all this on this level is by all of us together around the world, banding together at Now the End Begins, and God is using us, souls are getting saved, and saved people are getting on fire for God. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Mia in Texas just said, remember back in the beginning of COVID that I said we would all know somebody who has died from COVID. Well, let me just see in the chat room. I want you to post the name of anybody that you personally know that died from COVID or the vaccine. If you personally know somebody that died from COVID, I want you to post their name in the chat room right now. Just take a minute. It doesn't have to be their full name. It can just be their first name. But if you personally know somebody that died of COVID, I want you to post it in the chat room. I am going to post John, Ken, Mark, and Ethan. Those are four people that I personally know who died from COVID or from the vaccine. John, Ken, Mark, Ethan. All right, let's see. Let's see what the tale of the tape says. Deborah says, the biological father of my sons took two jabs and he died. Angela says, my mom took the vaccine. Rob says, Brad, my old worship leader. Linda, Mike Eldridge. Tracy says, Larry and Nancy. Karen says, Chuck. Jeff Ward says, grandmother Pauline and Aunt Stacy. JC Shane doesn't know anybody who died of COVID. Amen. Good for you. Jeanette says, my mom, Ruth Carter. Juanita says, Jerry. Anna says, my dad, Joe Witt. Papa Tassin says, Carter and Carla. Carolina girl says, Tim. Jersey girl says, Gary. Mia says, Mother Maria Block and my ex-spouse, Albert. Rapture 57 says, nobody. Dana says, man in church. Chantel says, DeCosta. Charlton says, Martin Head. Amen, brother. Veronica says, my friend Tracy and Jeff's son. Linda says, Mark, Mike's brother. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. So, as you can see, it's a conspiracy. There is no doubt about it, but there is nothing theoretical about what they're doing. So let's just take a minute and enjoy these couple of highlights that have been assembled from our friend Jason A. over on YouTube. Just take a little bit of a listen to this.
Do you agree with that? Or are there ways of what are we able to keep on the positive side from the old order to bring into a new world order? And how can we avoid that new world order becomes like a jungle growing back, and we rather have order based on international law and the principles that have brought us prosperity and freedom for decades.
It's time to plan the future. Not their futures, your future.
That order seems to not be the order anymore. We are on the way to a new order, so we are between orders.
A new world order. So what will that look like?
Maybe this is the old kind of teacher in me coming out. I think of this a little bit more about a transition of eras rather than a transition of orders, but the two are kind of cousins of one another. The reason I draw the distinction is because I don't think the international order built after 1945 is getting replaced wholesale with some new order. It will obviously evolve as it has evolved multiple times over the decade since 1945. But I do think in a more sharp and distinctive way, we are moving into a new era, and that's what I talked about in my remarks, that We are, you know, the post-Cold War era has come to a close. We're at the start of something new. We have the capacity to shape what that looks like. And at the heart of it will be many of the core principles and core institutions of the existing order, adapted for the challenges that we face today.
As I mentioned earlier in the show, Argentina's president, Javier Milei, has been warning of the decline of the West at the World Economic Forum at the hands of social justice and collectivism.
Today, I'm here to tell you that the Western world is in danger. And it is in danger because those who are supposed to have to defend the values of the West are co-opted by a vision of the world that inexorably leads to socialism and thereby to poverty. Unfortunately, in recent decades, motivated by some well-meaning individuals willing to help others, and others motivated by the wish to belong to a privileged caste, the main leaders of the Western world have abandoned the model of freedom for different versions of what we call collectivism.
So it's no wonder why globalists in Davos are worried about the 2024 election. They think, by the way, a Trump victory is a lock. And they're not happy about it, not one bit. Turns out globalists don't like an America First agenda. The world's plutocracy hasn't forgotten how Trump slapped down tariffs on China and pulled out of the Paris Accords, forced NATO countries.
So let me just stop that clip for a second, and I want to bring your attention to something that was posted on X about 17 hours ago. You want something fresh? This is about as fresh as it gets. I'm going to put a little image into the chat room so you can see it for yourself, but you can just go to X and you can do a search for the page of Alex Soros. He is the son of George Soros. And I want to show you something that he posted on his page, well, about 17 hours ago. And when you realize what you're looking at, it is, we are living in very, very, very scary times. He posted an article from theatlantic.com talking about crime and inflation. But I want to show you the image that the article is using. And you tell me if I'm overreacting or not. I just posted the image into the chat room. And you can see Alex Soros posted this article. And in the image for the article, you see two photos. One is a bullet hole through a plate of glass. And the other one is a man holding $6 bills. A $10 bill, a $20 bill, a $5 bill, a $10 bill, and two ones. On the left side is a bullet hole in the glass, and in the right side, a man is holding $47. So, bullet hole, 47. Bullet hole, 47. Donald Trump, if he wins in November, he's going to be the 47th president of the United States. Now, we are not the only ones who have a problem with this graphic posted by Alex Soros. Bullet hole 47. Bullet hole 47. Now, we have been saying for a number of years that the only way they are going to stop Donald Trump is they're going to have to assassinate him. Do you remember back when they did Shakespeare in the Park? They did a production of Julius Caesar and they worked the Trump assassination into that. Do you remember that Democratic protesters at the Republican National Convention put a effigy of Trump under a guillotine amid calls for his assassination? And we have been talking about this for a number of years. But when you have somebody like Alex Soros and how evil he is, and the work that the Soros family does, and they sponsor and fund every hardcore, far-left, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, riots in the streets, liberal DAs that let criminals off the hook. They fund all of it. And now Alex Soros is showing you, proudly posting, a bullet hole 47. Bullet hole 47. That's the only way they're going to be able to stop Trump. The only way is they're going to have to they're going to have to bullet hole 47. So we have been actually saying that that was going to happen for quite some time, but it looks like 2024 may be the year that this takes place. Now, before you say how crazy that sounds, ever hear of something called the Clinton body count? We've been talking about it for 12 years at Now the End Begins. There's lots of high-profile people who have joined the Clinton body count. Jeffrey Epstein is one of those people. Ron Brown is one of those people. There's a lot of people that have joined the Clinton body count. If you're not familiar with that, well, take a listen to this.
About 30 years ago, an Associated Press journalist broke a shocking story about the CIA. 10 years later, Gary Webb was working at the San Jose Mercury News when he uncovered the story tucked away inside of a Senate subcommittee report. The report showed that the CIA was very closely tied to illegal cocaine smuggling in 1985. Webb started out skeptical, but eventually published a series called Dark Alliance. Then Webb's life fell apart. One by one, news agencies started to pick him apart, trying their best to discredit his story. Eventually, his own employer piled on and pushed him out. Webb went on to kill himself in 2004.
In West Virginia, authorities are investigating the mysterious death of a journalist and possible connections to the BCCI bank scandal and the Weapons for Iran case. Wyatt Andrews tells us that puzzling tale.
Freelance journalist Danny Casolaro told friends he was on to the political conspiracy of the century. He was meeting a source in West Virginia. He was about to discover all. Instead, his body was discovered in a hotel room with 12 slashes in his wrist, but when the local authorities ruled it suicide, the family said, no way.
You know, there actually used to be a website called the Clinton Body Count, which ran a tally of the people that Hillary and Bill had secretly killed. It was over 90 people. She should demand it be brought back and say, stop lying about my record. I've killed way more than that.
The background is that for decades there have been conspiracy theories about Vince Foster's death, theories that perhaps the Clintons had something to do with it. Nothing along those lines was ever proven. There was never any evidence of that, but it does still lurk in the dark recesses of the web.
How did you kill Jeffrey Epstein? Because you're not in power, but you have all the power.
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is raising questions about the killing, offering a big reward for information, and that is fueling political conspiracy theories.
As a 27-year-old, I worked for the DNC. We shot in the back, murdered, just 2 weeks ago, for unknown reasons, as he was walking down the street in Washington. So
That was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it?
No, there's no finding. So,
what are you suggesting?
Another man connected to the DNC is found dead less than a month after the murder of DNC staffer Seth Conrad Rich. One America's very own Rachel Roboto tells us more about the mysterious death of Sean Lucas and his involvement with the party's email scandal.
And unconfirmed. Yes, we came
we saw, he died.
Did it have anything to do with your visit?
No, I'm sure it did.
We question how it's possible that someone, anyone, could be capable of killing again and again, seemingly without remorse.
Because she is being so protected. She could walk into this arena right now and shoot somebody with 20,000 people watching right smack in the middle of the heart, and she wouldn't be prosecuted.
In reality, we know that there's some common denominators that most of them have.
There are hundreds of recorded cases of serial murders dating back centuries, but the term serial killer is actually pretty new. The first known published reference found in a New York Times article from 1981 that described a serial or pattern murderer. That was referring to Wayne Williams, suspected in the deaths of more than 30 children. The FBI defines serial killers as anyone who murders two or more people in separate incidents.
When most of the public thinks about serial killers, they think of what's been depicted in the media, which is the lone serial killer or the serial killer such as Charles Manson. They're not thinking of political elites. Yet, just like Charles Manson, some of these political elites have used the cult members or people brainwashed in order to do their bidding to go out and kill people on their behalf, or an organization that is behind the political elite that goes out and kills people on their behalf.
So there you have just a little bit of a random sampling from a movie called The Clinton Body Count. And just go to nowtheendbegins.com and type in Clinton Body Count or Clinton Deadpool, and you will see all the articles that we've written over the years. And we'll tell you all the known members of the Deadpool, but it's past, at this point, it's over 154 people closely associated with Bill and Hillary who died or committed suicide under highly suspicious circumstances. These people are evil. And all of this is connected with Clade X and Disease X and the vaccines and SARS-CoV-2 and AZT and all this different stuff. Look, we live in a time where the wheels are coming off the bus. The church age is almost over. We're looking for our blessed hope. And this lost world is preparing itself to receive Antichrist. We say it all the time. We were one of the very first people to start telling you that back in 2020, where we told you that the spirit of Antichrist, not a general spirit. John says there are many antichrists, and that's true. But what we're talking about is the spirit of the actual Antichrist that we believe was released on this earth in 2020. And here we are in 2024, and that's another one of those statements that we've made that were very bold at the time that have aged very, very well. How about this clip? A woman goes to attend a prayer meeting at a Baptist church in Tennessee. This is what happened.
The video starts as 78-year-old Linda Morrow arrives early for a prayer meeting at Hilldale Baptist Church in Clarksville, Tennessee. Two women join her. One sits in front, the other right behind. They strike up a conversation. Then it happens. One stranger asks Linda to hold hands and pray together. Her head bowed and eyes closed, Linda is distracted. Cops say the woman behind reaches into her bag, takes out Linda's wallet, and helps herself to the cash and other items. Then she puts the empty wallet back in Linda's bag. The two women hightail it out of the church. Cops say these suspects went on a $7,000 shopping spree at a Sam's Club store using Linda's credit cards. Later that night, the outraged pastor Larry Robertson spoke out about the theft from the lectern.
Keep your eye on your wallet even at church, I guess.
I just never in a million years thought about anything like that happening.
It's sickening. What happened is ridiculously evil.
So there you have a 78-year-old woman goes to a Baptist church in the heart of Tennessee for a prayer meeting, and she gets robbed, and people take her stuff and go out and have a $7,000 spending spree. Is that evil? Absolutely. Jan Lacker just posted in the chat room that after listening to this latest batch of absolutely insane end times updates, she said, I think I'm going to have to take a shower after all this. And I agree. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. And people have asked me many, many times over the last 15 years, how is it possible that I'm constantly talking about these wacky, strange, wild, semi-depressing, end times things? How can I still have such a good attitude and not be depressed, even though I talk about these things all the time? Well, because I have a King James Bible, and I can renew my mind, and I can look at what's happening in the world around me, and I can broadcast it and write about it and warn against it and show you how Bible prophecy is coming true. And as long as I stay anchored in that book, God's not going to let it overwhelm me. And he won't let it overwhelm you either. But you got to stay anchored in that book. Job said, I esteem thy word more than my necessary food. And when you look at the Bible like that, God will give you something special. I promise you. Take a listen to this. You know how they're constantly pushing everybody has to have an electric vehicle. You got to get rid of our gas stoves and have an electric stove. Got to get rid of the gas dryers and have an electric dryer. And they want the whole world to go electric. Well, here's a fun fact. The power grid cannot sustain a lot of electric vehicles. Not only can the power grid not sustain a lot of those EVs, the electric vehicles in cold weather are terrible. Take a listen to what Tesla owners are finding out about what happens when they drive their car in cold weather. They're not happy.
I want Elon Musk to do something about this. He'll probably help us out.
So electric vehicles may be the wave of the future, but a whole lot of owners are having trouble dealing with Chicago's bitter cold temperatures. Public charging stations have turned car graveyards over the past couple days.
Jane Placco reports on the frustration and some tips from an auto expert.
Nothing, no juice, it's still on 0%. And this is like 3 hours this morning being out here after being out here 8 hours yesterday.
Tyree Beard was among the dozens of Tesla owners trying desperately to power up their cars at this Tesla supercharging station in Oak Brook, a scene mirrored with long lines and abandoned cars at scores of other charging stations around the Chicago area.
Man, this is crazy. It's a disaster. Seriously.
We got a bunch of dead robots out here.
Dead robots. This is your car?
Yeah.
But it was no laughing matter to people like Kevin Sumrak, who landed at O'Hare last night to find his Tesla dead, forcing him to hire a flatbed tow truck to try to find a working charging station.
So I can get back to Indiana.
But you can't find one that's charging or working?
Either working or doesn't have cars sitting, still plugged in.
You've been here since when?
5 p.m. yesterday.
So 20 hours or so?
Yeah, about.
Tesla did not respond to any of our emails or calls, but an automobile expert we talked to says there are some things that EV owners can do when it gets this brutally cold.
It's moving anyway.
It's moving.
Like any new technology, Dane, there's a learning curve.
Mark Bielek of the Chicago Auto Trade Association says all EVs can have problems
learning
dealing
curve.
With extreme cold and says it's important for drivers to hit their preconditioning button before they charge their battery.
It's not plug and go. You have to precondition the battery.
Oh, yeah.
That you have to get the battery up to the optimal temperature to accept the fast charge.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget to precondition that battery, and you'll be just fine when it's 40 below out there. Well, you know, look, we're ending this program on a light note today, but we are deadly serious about the time period that we're living in. They're taking all of these things. They're taking medicine. They're taking food. They're taking hospitals. They're taking doctor's care. They're taking the big pharma companies. And they are using these things as a weapon against us. And so we're going to keep an eye on the World Health Organization. The largest private donor is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, just to let you know. As of 2013, they had given over $9 billion. And we're going to continue to keep an eye on Disease X, and we're going to report about the pandemic agreement, the global pandemic agreement, the global agreement, the one world system, the new world order. We're going to continue to keep our eye on these things for you. But look, let's not get obsessed with that. If you want to get obsessed with anything, if you want to get addicted to anything, 1 Corinthians 16:15, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 15 and 16. You want to get obsessed about something? You want to get addicted to something? Get obsessed and addicted to getting something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to get obsessed about something? Get obsessed about helping us to reach 500,000 Bibles, New Testaments, and Scripture portions that will be handed out by the end of this year. It's going to take a lot of prayer. It's going to take a lot of money. But there is no reason why we can't hit 500,000 Bibles and New Testaments and Scripture portions by the end of 2024. So focus on the things that are going to matter in eternity. Focus on putting God's word into somebody else's hands. Focus on being a witness to the people around you and handing out gospel tracts. Let's get something done for the Lord, all of us together. And if you'd like to help us to do that, please go to nowtheendbegins.com or biblesbehindbars.com and make a generous donation. I have 6 different jails right now that are waiting for us to send them Bibles. All we need is donations. Please go to biblesbehindbars.com. We need help, and we can only do it with all of us together. And thank you very much. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. Thank you so much for being a part of the NTEB global family of Bible believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for another Rightly Dividing King James Bible study. Have a great week, everybody. Some
Something's happened, folks are going crazy. I'm hearing talk about outer space. Someone broke in and robbed the cemetery. Open graves all over the place. Been looking high and low, trying to find my brother. No one knows for sure where he's gone. The house is unlocked, his keys are on the table. His car is here and all the lights are on. Where's John? John said something a long time ago. I remember laughing out loud. Said Jesus was returning, and one day he'd sound the trumpet. He'd rise up to meet him in the clouds. John had always fought my battles. He loved me like a son. He'd always talk to me about the Lord. But I would never listen. I'd always put it off. What if I don't ever see him anymore?
Lord, can you hear me? Help me find the one that I depended on. I'm afraid it's gone down just like the Bible said. Please somebody tell me I'm wrong.
Where's John?
Where's John?
Now I know many people are missing. I've never been so scared.
I've never been so scared.
I keep looking but no. We can't find him anywhere. Where's John?
Where's John? Lord, can you hear me? Help me find the one that I depended on. I'm afraid it's gone down just like the Bible said. Please somebody tell me I'm wrong.